Oh.
Oh, I just screenshot where it's at. Oh, once I save it.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now thanking you for this glorious day. We understand that there may be many that went to sleep last night but did not wake up this morning. We appreciate the fact that you saw fit to have us see another day. Allow our ears to be open and not covered, our hearts softened to receive your guidance. I pray that I be minimized so that you may be magnified. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All honor and glory be unto God. And happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. Now, I'm sure that everyone in you all's life has had enough time to carefully plan out something creative for you all on Mother's Day during this quarantine time. I want to remind you fathers out there to remember our day is coming and not to forget you reap what you sow. Amen. So when it comes to our young people, we are supposed to protect them. In the famous words of Malcolm Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X, by any means necessary, are we to defend, preserve, support, guide, and protect our young people. See, they are our future. As we look at them, we oftentimes can see the potential and even greatness that is to come. A lot of times we do have to protect them from themselves. But that doesn't mean that just because they make mistakes that they aren't worth protecting. It does mean that we should work harder to protect them, to nurture them, and to guide them. Despite all of the foolish, senseless, and oftentimes questionable behaviors that I displayed growing up, I had grandmothers who still protected me from myself and from the world. I can remember one of my grandmothers telling some people that came to my house looking for me, asking some specific questions about me and my whereabouts. See, her response was, "I haven't seen him, but if you see him before I do, tell him to come take this trash out." Now, whether that was right or wrong, that's not the point. The point is she was protecting me in that moment. When she did see me, I was scolded for putting her in that position and strongly encouraged to take care of the matter, which was another way of her protecting me with that wise guidance. So no matter if the young person is in your family or if they are the ones you see out in public misbehaving, we must protect them because they are our future. Which leads us to today's topic. How to protect young people. Coming from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. And it reads, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Our focus this morning is on a young man by the name of Stephen. Before we get into our points for this morning, I'd like to give you a little background on who Stephen was. In the early days of the church, the Christians put all of their resources together and shared a common wealth. Widows and orphans took high priority. So what they would do is distribute food on a daily basis, which led to some getting more than others. To relieve them of their burden, the apostles called for 7 men of good character to be elected as deacons to take over the food distribution. Stephen was one of them. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, Luke describes him as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Compared to the others, Stephen is the only one that Luke says that about. So I believe it's fair to say Stephen was especially gifted. He stood out above the others. Now think about that for a moment. I'm sure there is someone who you know in some part of your life that is also a step above the rest. Impeccable, just like Stephen was. To me, it seems as if Stephen was one of those type of guys who a father would want to see their daughter with. He seemed to have it all together, his mind and his heart, at ease in every situation, just flowing through life with grace and dignity, with little effort. By the grace of God, Stephen showed superior promise. But remember, with promise comes a price. He recognized that his gifts were not for privilege, but service. He was elected to help distribute food, care for widows and orphans. That also included the poor and needy, the lame, the homebound, the feeble, and the dying. You see, Stephen not only helped distribute the food to the widows and orphans, but in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, Luke goes on to say, Stephen, full of faith and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. So some of you may have some questions, just like I did as I was preparing for this message, such as, what were the great wonders and signs that he performed? Did he heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons? Scripture doesn't say, so we'll probably never know, but it's safe to say that what he was doing caught the attention of others, and not just fellow Christians either. Jews from all over the Mediterranean. Acts chapter 6, verse 9 says, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia. In particular, there was a den of radical extremists known as the Synagogue of the Libertines, or the Freedmen. In the second part of Acts chapter 6, verse 9, and the first part of 10, it states they disputed with Stephen, but weren't able to withstand the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. You see, Stephen was a skilled orator who spoke with eloquence and precision. He was very knowledgeable in the Torah and Jewish history. He held his own with any rabbi or scribe. When it came to Jesus, he was uncompromising. Jesus was the promised Messiah, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So that led to a problem. With the promise of superior intellect and the gift of articulation came the price of confrontation. In Acts chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Luke says, Then they secretly induced men to say, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and came against him and seized him and brought him into the council. I once heard someone say the quickest way to meet the devil is to take a stand for God. Now, there definitely is some truth to that. As long as you're only doing enough to get by in life, I'm talking about the absolute bare minimum, not caring about what God expects of you, the devil will leave you alone because you're no threat to him and his agenda. But I dare you to be bold and do what has been commanded of you by feeding those who are hungry, visiting the sick and in prison, clothing the naked, quenching the thirsty's thirst, and taking in the stranger. Then you'll be on his radar, catching flack from every direction. Not only will people ask, why do you even care about the well-being of people you don't even know? You'll be talked about as if it's the most detestable thing on earth. Now that I've given you a little backdrop to what led Stephen to be put on trial and his death, let's see how to protect young people. Verse 55 reads, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." How to protect young people. Respect God. One thing that I've taught my children and other young people that I've had the opportunity to speak to is always look a person in the eye when you're speaking to them. I tell them that for a number of reasons. One, because it shows the other person that you're engaged in what they're saying. And two, is it shows respect. Part of verse 55 states that Stephen looked up steadfastly into heaven, meaning he fixed his eyes on him in an unwavering manner. That showed respect for God. Despite what was going on around him, he had enough sense to know to fix his eyes upon God. But why did he have enough sense? Well, remember, he was full of the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit will cause us to do things that we in our minute minds can't even comprehend. I mean, think about it. He had the Jewish leaders have others lie on him just to get him in the court to basically be put to death. Now, how many of you can say that you would have enough respect for God or that you would even allow the Holy Spirit to lead you towards God in that situation? I know for me, I probably would have been foolish enough to try to take matters into my own hands. But that would have gotten me into a lot of legitimate trouble. So there wouldn't have been a need for trumped up charges, pun intended. We must respect God no matter the cost. Now let's take a look at verse 57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." We must never stop listening. We see here that to get away from the facts that were being presented, they decided to stop up their ears. Basically, they were holding in the lies that they had conjured up, and they blocked the truth. How many times have we stopped listening because we wanted the lies to be true? From the government, to your boo-thang, to your employer, and dare I say, those innocent children of yours. You've been lied to, and you stopped at the lie rather than listening a little while longer. Maya Angelou once said, "When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time." So if someone lied to you off the top, that's the only time you should stop listening. And once you stop, you get away from them. Now, when we think about truth, there's a saying that says, "Truth hurts." Notice that once Stephen spoke the truth, that they cried out as if they were being hurt. But instead of them enduring the pain of the truth, which may have caused them to get away from the lies that they had in their minds, they chose to attack him. Even when we think we know something to be true, we shouldn't stop listening because we just might learn something new. Now let's take a look at verse 58. "And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." How to protect young people? Never run God's people away. Jewish law specifies that blasphemers are to be taken out of the camp before being stoned. Leviticus 24, verse 14 says, "Take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 states, "Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside of the gate." I've been guilty of this a time or two, running God's people away. We must protect God's people, especially the young ones who haven't fully matured yet. A lot of times we run them away unintentionally by the way we scold them or look down upon them. When in reality, when it comes down to it, they are the ones that God wants to run towards the fold rather than be pushed away. So how to protect young people? Respect God. Never stop listening. Never run God's people away. Now let's look at the second part of 58. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Stay covered. In Deuteronomy 17:7, we see that according to the Jewish law, 7 states the hands of the witnesses must be put first, must be the first in putting that person to death. And when the hands of all the people, now in this case, they are removing their garments so that they will not be hindered as they proceed to stone Stephen. But when we think of a garment or covering in a spiritual sense, we must remain covered. Had they been truly covered spiritually, they would have saw that Stephen truly was speaking truth. So a few weeks ago, I had to transplant some lilies that the children had planted for my wife a few years ago. And when I transplanted those lilies, that left a big open space in the front of our home. So what I did was I got some seeds of another plant and I started planting those seeds. And just a few days ago, some of those little plants, they start popping up through the ground. So I realized that as observing the forecast, I saw that there was some frost coming in. So what I did was I went out last night before the frost came in and I covered all of the plants, because obviously they're just coming up through the ground, so I wasn't able to actually bring them inside. So I went out and I covered them. Now, one of the reasons why I covered them is because there was some hard work that was put into tilling that ground to get it prepared for those seeds that were planted. So I wanted to make sure that they were protected from the frost that was to come. Now, unlike the flowers that needed to stay covered for protection only during the freezing temps, we must stay covered spiritually. Our covering leads us when we don't know which way to go and protects us from unknown attacks. Because unlike me knowing that the freezing temps were on the horizon, which caused me to cover the precious plants, we don't know when hurt, harm, or danger is on our horizon. So we must remain covered, no matter the cost. So before I come to a close, let's take a look at verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. How to protect young people? Respect God. Never stop listening. Never run God's people away. Stay covered and know your sin. Stephen kneeling down and crying out with a loud voice echoes Jesus' crying with a loud voice as he died on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. When Stephen said, Lord, don't hold this sin against them, that echoes Jesus' words from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34. And when it states, when he said this, he fell asleep, that echoes the account of Jesus' death. When Luke tells us in chapter 23, verse 46, having said this, he breathed his last breath. I don't think this was a happenstance that Luke expressed the similarities of Jesus' death and Stephen's death. Both were holy men who were unjustly executed. Based on their actions, I don't know they realized that they had sinned by killing these innocent men. But we must know our sins and turn from them. We must be so in tune with God that even when we unintentionally sin, we must quickly recognize it. In order to protect our young people from making the mistakes that we've made, we must confess our sins to them. not to brag, but to show them that we aren't perfect. Far too often, we are trying to correct our young people. We can come across as holier than thou. One of the hardest things I had to do as a father was to admit one of my deepest, darkest sins to my children. I'll never forget the looks on their faces and the questions that came after the confession. Even though I wasn't too thrilled on letting them into my closet, I now recognize the good that will eventually come from it. So as I think about protection, Psalm 91 comes to mind, and it reads, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." And that is how you protect young people. Psalm 33, verse 20. We depend on the Lord above to save us. Only He can help us. Protect us like a shield. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this glorious morning? Good, good. That's good to hear. Everybody happy that things are moving towards getting back to some sense of normalcy? Notice I said moving towards. We haven't arrived there yet, but hopefully we'll be moving towards the right direction. So how are all my children doing this morning? Are you all getting on your mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers and guardians' nerves? Or are they getting on your nerves? You don't even know what nerves are, so you can't even say that. All right, so this morning I want to talk about God's protection. So growing up, when I was teaching my children how to ride bikes, one thing that we had to do was they had to wear helmets. Now, a lot of times they would get upset about having to wear the helmet. I don't really think it was the older two, Montezor and Montrell. I think it was maybe Leia and Montel who didn't want to wear the helmets. Sometimes Alea would not want to wear the helmet because maybe she had barrettes in her hair or little ballies that would hurt as the helmet is sitting on top of her head. So a lot of times she may not have wanted to necessarily wear the helmet. And then there were other times when they would ask questions like, "Do I have to?" And then I would say yes. And then they say why. Then I say, you know why, the whole reason behind having to wear a helmet. And then they'll say something along the lines of, "It will protect me if I fall." And then I would say, "Yes, it will protect you if you fall. I don't do it to make you miserable, do I?" "No, not at all. I do it because I want you to be protected." Now, a couple weeks ago, I was teaching Daniel how to ride a bike. and I went and got Daniel this cool Black Panthers helmet. Now, Daniel would wear the helmet around the house even if he wasn't getting ready to ride the bike. That's how cool he thought the helmet was. But when we're thinking about that helmet, we have to make sure that we remember that it's for our protection. No matter how uncomfortable it may be, no matter how ugly it looked, and maybe that was the case when my children were growing up. Maybe the helmet was just ugly and they didn't want to wear it. But at the time, that was all that I could afford. But I didn't make them want to wear, I didn't make them wear a helmet because I was being mean. I just wanted them all to be safe. And God's commandments are a lot like the bicycle helmet. They aren't meant to harm us, they're meant to protect us. They're not meant to be mean, but to keep us safe. So I want you all to remember that the next time you see a helmet, let that be a reminder of the commandments that God has called us to do. And it's just for our protection. That's it. Just for our protection. Well, I hope that everyone enjoys the rest of their day. I hope all of my children have gotten your mothers and your grandmothers and the other women in your life. I hope that you were able to come up with some creative way to show your appreciation for your mothers on today. Everybody be well, and I'll talk to you all later.